Please welcome our next guest, who has been to every conference since inception. Dieter spent over 3 decades in the investment industry, starting as an economics lecturer at the University of Pretoria and an analyst at the Reserve Bank, before he discovered value investing at Allan Gray and built his name managing the Investec Opportunity Fund. In 2003, he founded ReCM, and he's a director at Merchant West Investments and other private businesses. He's built a reputation for his, quote, cockroach portfolio, cash, bonds, equities, and hard assets in equal parts built for resilience. Welcome, Pete.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. A Mauritian trust offers a powerful solution for global estate planning. Invest better with Brenthurst.
Thank you, Rocky, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. So today, I'm going to try to make myself the least popular person in the investment management industry. If I'm not already, but I'm going to try even harder now. So I'm going to show you some parts of the industry that are completely superfluous, and I'm going to tell you how to get rid of these useless parts. Bearing in mind that these same useless parts of the industry are also very profitable parts of the investment industry, which is why what I'm about to tell you is going to make me so unpopular. So what I'm going to try and do today is plant some bad seeds and I hope they find fertile ground. The basic purpose of investing is very simple. Giving up some of our money today in the hope of having more money tomorrow. But this creates uncertainty. Giving up something today in the hope of having something more tomorrow is not something that comes to us naturally. The marshmallow test proves that. Very few people can resist eating that one marshmallow in the hope of receiving more at some uncertain point in the future. It's hard to do. The investment industry's answer to this very simple problem is addition. Every day we have more information, more products, more experts, more research, more intermediaries, more regulation. Our problem of uncertainty is solved with the investment management industry's version of a Rube Goldberg machine. Now, I don't know if you guys know what a Rube Goldberg machine is, but it's a very complex machine that goes through a number of very intricate steps to achieve a very simple outcome. For instance, switching on a light, you would have somebody rolling a ball, which would knock over some dominoes. The dominoes would knock over a bigger thing, which would knock support out from under a chair. The chair would tilt the lever. The lever would release water from a container, and that water would run a little generator, and the generator would turn on the light. That is a Rube Goldberg machine in action. And that is the investment management industry in action. The problem of uncertainty is solved by addition, by complexity. Complexity leads to confusion. Confusion leads to the need for advice. Advice leads to revenue for the investment management industry. Is it any surprise that the industry tries to make things as complicated as possible? So, bearing in mind that the industry's revenue erodes our returns, let's examine the various parts of this massive Rube Goldberg industry. First of all, the complexity of the language that is used. The industry says equity when it means ownership of a business. It uses the words fixed income or bonds when it means loans. It uses volatility when it means prices going up and down sharply. It uses alpha when it speaks about return attributable to risk, and so on and so forth. Technical language can improve communication amongst professionals, but it can also obscure straightforward facts and establish a hierarchy between the so-called experts and us as investors. Here's another technical term for you: bullshit. Much financial jargon is pure bullshit. And we all know that bullshit baffles brains, leading directly to revenue-generating opportunities for the investment management industry. The second level of complexity is product complexity. investors no longer merely need to choose between cash, loans, business ownership, or hard assets. They encounter collective investment schemes, exchange-traded funds, hedge funds, private equity funds, balanced funds, absolute return funds, and so on and so forth. Each one of these funds may even have several different classes, different fee structures, different currencies, different tax treatments, and different minimum investment periods. There's less believing that selecting the right product is a highly specialized exercise requiring deep expertise. Yet these products are simply combinations of the same underlying assets: business ownership, loans, hard assets, and cash. They're just packaged differently. The third level of complexity is measurement complexity. So once we have paid for enough help in understanding what the professional are saying and what products they're offering, we need to employ even more help to measure the outcomes that are being generated for us as investors. This brings us face to face with things like multiple benchmarks, peer group benchmarks, rolling returns, calendar year returns, Sharpe ratios, information ratios, and so on and so forth. These measures may be useful, but they divert attention from what really matters. And what matters is, has your purchasing power increased sufficiently in excess of inflation over a long enough period of time? A fund can outperform its benchmark, yet still lose money in real terms. It can rank in the top quartile over an arbitrary period, but still fail to meet our simple objective of inflation-beating returns. Above all, these periods of outperformance, which every fund enjoys at some particular point in time, serve only as marketing material, with nothing to do with our long-term investment outcomes. After all, measured performance describes the past. As investors, we get the future. Here's a secret the investment management industry does not want you to understand. Past investment returns have nothing to do with future investment returns. Fourth level of complexity, organizational complexity. Between the investor, the saver, and the underlying assets which generate the returns they need, stand any combination of the following: a financial advisor, a discretionary fund manager, a platform, a fund manager, a multi-manager, a consultant, a custodian, administrator, a compliance function, and so on and so forth. Each may perform a legitimate role. Each may also charge directly or indirectly. The result can be a long chain in which no single fee appears excessive, but the total cost becomes substantial, paid by investors through reduced returns. Fifth level of complexity, forecasting. The industry produces endless forecasts on where interest rates are going to go, what's happening to inflation, what's going to happen to inflation, what election outcomes will be, what currency movements will happen next week and next month and next year, where commodity prices are expected to go, what economic growth will be next quarter, and so on and so forth. These forecasts provide content, justify activity, and demonstrate apparent expertise. The more uncertain the future becomes, the more commentary and content the industry produces, all of which is superfluous. For as John Kenneth Galbraith said, the sole purpose of economic forecasting is to make astrology look respectable. No one can forecast the future. So today, I want to propose a better way to you. Via negativa is a principle popularized by Nicholas Nassim Taleb. It means focusing on what to do, what not to do, rather than what to do. Taleb argues that in highly unpredictable, complex systems like financial markets, we gain true knowledge and robustness primarily through subtraction, removing harm, falsehoods, and unnecessary interventions, rather than by adding new layers of complexity like a Rube Goldberg machine. Instead of asking what else an investor needs on top of what they already have, rather ask what can be removed before the investment outcome starts deteriorating. Not all complexity is fraudulent or deliberately manufactured. Markets, taxation, regulations, and the individual circumstances differ and genuinely involve complexity. But complexity can also serve the industry by making the client dependent on whoever claims to understand it. Via negativa cuts through this Gordian knot. So let's examine this complexity machine and remove all the parts that stand between us as investors and the returns we need. First part to be removed is the products. Virtually all portfolios, structured portfolios, structured products, alternative assets, private equity, blah, 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 consist of claims on a limited number of economic activities, each with a stable long-term expected return. Cash represents a claim on government or a bank, generally speaking, pretty stable return, not much in excess of inflation over time. Bonds represent a claim on a government or a business, less stable than cash, slightly higher long-term real expected return. Equity represents an ownership interest in the business, much more volatile. And if you package together a group of such claims, despite being volatile, they will generate good real returns between 4 to 6% above inflation. And hard assets are those sort of assets that have intrinsic value due to the inherent scarcity, and they generate real returns as well. And those are the four types of assets there are. That's it. But they're packaged in different products, and the source of return is not the product. The source of return comes from what the fund owns. The fund is merely the container of those returns. So this is your first major act of subtraction. Remove the packaging and identify the underlying economic asset. And here are some questions to ask. What do I actually own? How does it generate a return? How much does the package cost? What does the package provide that direct ownership or a simpler fund would not provide? The product name should be secondary to the economic exposure. Here's a second subtraction, the labels. Many investment categories overlap or describe minor variation of similar strategies. Growth, quality, value, momentum, income, absolute return, smart, blah, blah, blah. These all may be meaningful descriptions, but they can also create the illusion that the investor is accessing a distinct economic engine. What they do provide is they provide the fund management, investment management industry with messaging opportunities. That is what they do. The underlying return mechanisms matter much more than the category name and are usually accessible at a much lower cost. Most subsets of an asset class, for instance, value equities or quality equities or growth equities, have more variable, less reliable, and more expensive investment returns than the broad index itself. So get rid of the labels and simply own the market via a cheap index fund. The third subtraction is a very important one. Remove the forecasts. Forecasting is attractive because uncertainty is uncomfortable. We all want answers to the question, what will happen next? Problem is, nobody knows, but the investment industry loves it as it creates valuable marketing material. Marketing material that exploits our willingness to pay for the illusion of certainty. We're not paying for certainty, we're paying for the illusion of certainty. But long-term investors do not need these so-called accurate forecasts of next quarter's inflation or GDP growth rate or what the election outcome will be. What they need is a portfolio capable of withstanding a range of possible outcomes. As G.K. Chesterton said, life's wildness lies in wait. Nowhere is this truer than in financial markets. We need to remove prediction, and we need to replace it with preparation for life's inevitable wildness. This changes the whole investment process from one of optimizing for a specific outcome to one of being robust to any outcome. A robust portfolio includes liquidity for foreseeable needs, diversification across genuinely different assets, limited dependence on borrowed money, an allocation to productive assets that can compound over time, and the mental capacity to endure temporary market declines without being forced to sell. Such a portfolio could be a simple mix of an index fund with cash or a cockroach type portfolio, which of course I'm a big proponent of. The aim is not to predict the future. The aim is to avoid requiring a particular future. Subtraction number 4, remove avoidable fees. Costs are among the few investment variables that we know of in advance. A fee may seem small when expressed as an annual percentage, but it compounds negatively. And fees, you get different types of fees, different layers of fees, advisor fees, platform fees, administration fee, fund management fee, performance fee, trading costs, tax. But for each layer of fees you can identify in your investment process, you need to ask, what service is being provided? Do we need this service? Could it be obtained more cheaply? Could it be avoided completely? Is the cost proportional to the value? These are important questions to ask and answer. The argument is not that all fees are illegitimate. Skilled advice can add value through tax and estate planning, as well as behavioral management. The via negativa approach is to remove every fee for which the investor cannot identify a necessary service or a value add. If you simplify your investment process, you can reduce the number of services required from the investment industry, thereby reducing your cost and increasing your returns. The fifth subtraction, remove unnecessary activity. The industry tends to equate activity with value. Frequent trading, regular tactical allocation changes, continual fund manager replacements, new product launches, constant portfolio commentary, immediate reaction to news and company results. But this activity creates costs. Brokerage, tax, bid offer spreads, management time, and of course the inevitable behavioral mistakes. A quiet portfolio may look neglected when it is functioning exactly as intended. This creates an uncomfortable commercial problem for the investment management industry. A fund manager says, we have made no changes because the long-term case remains intact, appears to be much less valuable than the manager who is constantly tweaking the portfolio. Via Negativa asks, what transactions can be avoided? And minimizing transaction not only minimizes costs, it also reduces potential errors. Every time you transact, you open yourself up to a potential error. Fewer mistakes and lower costs put you ahead of the game. No brilliance required. Subtraction number 6, remove the risks you should not be taking. Risk is the price you pay to earn returns. Those two things go together. You can't get the one without the other. But not all risk is a necessary price to earn the returns that you need. Some risks are consistently rewarded. Owning businesses through economic cycles leads to a certain type of return. Lending to creditworthy borrowers. Holding long-duration assets. And owning scarce assets. Some risks are avoidable and should be avoided. Excessive leverage, excessive concentration, forecast dependence, excessive illiquidity, complexity, and weak governance. This distinction is important. Via negativa is not the elimination of all risk. If you eliminate all risk, you get no return. It's the elimination of unnecessary risks that can potentially permanently destroy capital, while retaining those risks that you need to generate the returns that you need. The final complication to remove is our own destructive behavior. The industry itself is not solely responsible for this complexity. We as investors, often demand it. We demand it because we want things that are impossible to achieve. We want certainty in an uncertain world. We want high returns without temporary losses. We want explanations for every market movement. We want products that have performed well recently. We want immediate action during crises. We want a sophisticated story, and we want someone to blame when outcomes disappoint. Complexity is a joint effort. The industry sells what investors want: emotional reassurance. The most damaging decisions are made by emotional investors. Buying after strong performance, selling after poor performance, changing strategy repeatedly, changing process repeatedly, chasing fashionable assets, and so on. Once avoidable external complications have been removed, the investor must address those internal ones, those emotions of envy, fear, greed, overconfidence, the desire for constant action. This final layer of complexity lies within the investor, not the industry or the portfolio. It's super hard to overcome, but if achieved, super rewarding. So to summarize, investing is a very simple problem with a very simple solution. Spend less than you earn, preserve liquidity, own productive assets, diversify, control fees and taxes, avoid permanent loss, remain patient and rational, and measure your success by the growth and the purchasing power of your capital. But doing these things is hard because markets are volatile, the future is uncertain, and human behavior is unpredictable. The investment industry makes the process more complicated than necessary. Simplification does not eliminate the need for judgment, but helps us concentrate our judgment on the handful of decisions that really matter. Everything else is noise and should be done away with. Via Negativa says, do not ask whether a financial service sounds intelligent. Ask whether removing it improves our outcome. Thank you very much.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's leading boutique wealth manager, trusted to guide families for over 22 years. Invest better with Brenthurst. Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox, sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.